This study was the culmination of many years of interest in delirium. This started when I was working as an arts manager in hospitals in the UK and managing a project on transplantation with photographer Tim Wainwright and sound artist John Wynne. What was most shocking about the project was hearing about the delirious experiences people underwent in ICU and the ways in which this affected them. It wasn't something that was much talked about at the time, and in fact, it's still comparatively under-researched, despite its impacts on short and long-term outcomes for patients, as well as their families and hospital staff. I'm interested in the experience of delirium itself, but also in what it might teach us about intensive care units and what their working cultures do to us as humans. The impetus was also about validating these experiences, including delusions and hallucinations and paranoias, which are generally described as aberrant or valueless, but in fact are often very helpful metaphors that can tell us a lot about our situations. For example, perhaps if we're hallucinating that nurses are skeletons, it might suggest something about feeling dehumanised. If we believe people are attacking us, perhaps ICU makes us feel unsafe. Perhaps too, by valuing these experiences, we might make the recovery process a bit less painful. I particularly wanted to draw attention to the violence of the experience of ICU. Both the initial violation of the body that leads to being there in the first place, the way that this is compounded by treatment and by the physical environment of ICUs, and the way that it manifests in delirium and sometimes causes people to act violently. But at the same time, I wanted to question the way that we refer to aggression in patients in ICU. The data here suggests, in fact, people are not aggressive. They're instead defending themselves against threat. Reframing this might allow us to think differently about how we treat people in ICU. It was also important to acknowledge that staff in these spaces too are working in dehumanised spaces, but despite that, many are finding ways to make the experience human and to communicate with the people that they're looking after in ways that mitigate distress. But they are working against the system, and so taking the time to cope with delirium may come at some personal cost. It would be great if the system could meet them halfway, and that's about everything from the architecture of intensive care units to training and support. Lastly, I used music as a way of understanding delirium, partly because there's something about the metaphorical nature of some of these delusions that I thought could be communicated well through music. But the composition process was also a way of analysing data and building an argument, as well perhaps as evoking the experience and maybe validating it in some way.
She had a liver transplant and she was very sick at the time. And after transplant, I spent quite a bit of time talking to her after the transplant. She used to say to me, I can see my feet there. I can see my arms there. She pulled her body apart in terms of a lot of pieces. I can see my feet there. I can see my arms there. So, and for me, that was very spooky and unnerving because I kept thinking she was going to die and that she was almost perceiving her own death, and she really was minutes away from death. As the confusion got better, she could see her whole body.